And right, that takes us on to part two of the program, and our second guest has been in the past responsible for some very fine albums, and since his days as one of the Monkees, he's continued to grow and develop. And tonight he'll be playing some of the new songs from an album called The Prison. Would you please welcome Mike Nesmith?
Okay. Tell me just one more time the reasons why you must leave. Tell me once more why you're sure you don't need me. Oh, tell me again, but don't think that you'll convince me. There's nothing so hard about the life that you live. As far as I can see, there's no reason for goodbyes. You're just running scared. Won't let you go with nothing to show but more blues. And all this talk about leaving is strictly bad news. So you settle down, stay with the man that loves you. As far as I can see, there's no reason for goodbyes. Oh, you're just running scared, and that's something I won't buy. So you lose. I won't let you go with nothing to show but more. Bad news. So you settle down and stay with the man that loves you. You settle down and stay with the man that loves you. Oh, you settle down, stay with me. Her name was Joanne, and she lived in a meadow by a pond. This song is about a cow. Lived in a meadow by a pond. It's a cow. I don't want that to destroy any of the romantic notions you may have had about it. May not be about a cow. Yeah, it could have been about that too. Her name was Joanne, and she lived in a meadow by a pond. And she touched me for a moment with a look that spoke to me of her sweet love. Then the woman that she was drove her on with desperation, and I saw as she went a most hopeless situation for Joanne and the man and the time that made them both run. She was only a girl, I know that well, but still I could not see. That the hold that she had was much stronger than the love she felt for me. But staying with her and my little bit of wisdom broke down her desires like a light through a prism. Into yellows and blues and a tune that I could not have sung. Though the essence is gone, I have no tears to cry for her, and my only thoughts of her are kind. Her name was Joanne, and she lived in the middle by a pond. She touched me for a moment with a look that spoke to me of her sweet love. Then the woman that she was drove her on with desperation, and I saw as she went a most hopeless situation for Joanne and the man and the time that made them both wrong. For Joanne and the man time that made them both wrong.
Thank you very much. Part of the reason I'm here, aside from having been asked to come, is to promote my new work, which is a book with a soundtrack. I'm glad you asked. A book with a soundtrack is something that kind of fell into my lap here a while back, and it's very difficult for me to describe. When you sit down and you read a story, you see, generally, a movie plays out in your mind's eye. That's the whole trip of reading. And this movie is by and large silent, unless it says boom on the page, at which point you go boom in your head. Or yuck on the page, yuck in your head. It struck me as an interesting notion to write a score to that silent movie, since the only person doing any talking was the narrator, and generally that's you. And so I set about to do that and came up with a work called The Prism. And the notion is that you read the book while you play the record. What I'd like to try and do now is play a couple of the tunes off of The Prism for you in hopes that it'll whip you into a buying frenzy and that you will not get the full import of it is maybe in my favor in the long run. But what I'll try to do is tell you a little bit of the story and sing a couple of the tunes, and then you'll sort of figure out how it's working in your mind's eye, more or less. Thank you very much. I'm sorry. Which is what the waiters say to me at the hotel. Thank you very much. I'm sorry. The Prism takes place in a prison. It's odd, and it has as its primary lead figure the protagonist, Jason. And he finds a hole in the west wall of the prison, which is apparently unattended. and he decides that he wants to go through it, but he is entreated to not do so by his lady friend Marie, with whom he later falls in love, who says, look, that hole is just there as a trap to entice troublemakers into annihilation, more or less. And Jason's curiosity gets the best of him, and he says, well, so much for that. I'm going to go out. I've got to find out what's on the other side of the wall. And besides that, the prison is reasonably groovy, but I would like to have access to some other information. So he wanders through the hole in the wall, and the only thing that greets him is darkness and mist and disorientation. Finally, he loses his way, and he can't find his way back to the prison, and so he's stuck in the middle of a black void. And during that time, a song begins to play in the background called Dance Between the Raindrops. At the end of the song, a light begins to dawn on Jason. It is the light illuminating his way, and he finds himself a nice little grassy spot upon which to lay, and he falls asleep in the early morning. Okay, that's that. Now, lateral shift out here with me for just a minute. So we just have a couple levels running here, and have a little fun if you want to. If you're not, it's okay. The way to figure out the place that Jason is ultimately hanging out is to sit right now and get yourself into a state of consciousness, especially those of you with your ears glued to the radio set, by sitting back in your chair and closing your eyes and forgetting most of the drama and watching the thoughts as they pass by in consciousness, much like you would watch non-simultaneous overlapping scenario event universe. It works, it just sounds weird. And if you do that, the question will naturally arise, who is observing this? And so you get into a very nice space because you're reasoning from effect to cause, which turns into effect, and you reason to the new cause, which turns into effect, and you reason into the new cause, and it turns into effect, and on, ad infinitum into finite conceptual bits, until you get past all that into the place, about which we will speak later. But this, in the meantime, is the song. Thank you.
the door closed loosely, so the messenger will know that it's all right to just walk in. This fear that you've been feeling has no substance of its own, and though the battle rages fiercely, you will win. Oh, there is no way in to where you already are. And all the lies fall away with decay.
So the light begins to dawn on Jason, and he's met outside by a guy named Tom, who turns out to be his guide. And Tom says, "Hey, how you doing?" And Jason says, "Who are you?" And Tom says, "Well, I came from the prison myself. I'm your guide. I'm here to help you through a bad time, if it's bad to you. If it's not, it'll be good in a minute, even better than it is now." So Jason says, "Well, where am I?" Tom says, "Paradise." And Jason says, "Well, that's pretty interesting. I've always wanted to go to paradise. How did I get here?" And Tom says, "Well, why don't you come back with me to the cabin? I'll explain everything to you." So he goes back to the cabin, and he explains to Jason more or less that Jason has been involved in a set of sense coordinates that have kept him bound in finite reasoning, and that he has now come on the other side of that. And Jason says, "Well, that sounds terrific. I'd like to know more about that, because I don't have the first idea what you're talking about." And Tom says, "Well, it takes a little while to catch on." And Jason says, "Boy, I'll say, maybe I should go back to the prison and see my friend." Tom says, "Well, maybe you should go back to the prison. I think you'll be real interested in what you'll see from out here." So they traipse over the hill, and they go back to the prison. And there in the middle of the valley are little beds lined up all neatly in a row. And there are people walking around, the kitchen table off to one side, and the inmates in solitary confinement standing not 6 feet away from each other, except there are no walls. No walls anywhere. It's not a prison. And Jason says, "Well, far out." And Tom says, "Yep, it's only a prison from the inside, pal. Once you're through, it ain't a prison anymore." And Jason says, "Well, I'm going to go back and tell Marie. This is the greatest piece of information I've ever had in my life." And goes back into the prison to get Marie. And he says, "Hey, Marie, I got the greatest thing to tell you. You're free. There's no prison." And Marie says, "Well, that's it. You went through the hole. You lost your cookies. Everybody does it. You go a little nuts. You go out there. You're crazy." And Jason says, "No, if you'll just come through the prison, this hole in the wall with me, you'll see." So she says, "All right, well, I'll try it since I love you very much." And Jason says, "Well, terrific." So they go out, and they stand outside the prison wall. Marie has a bad time in the mist and the darkness, although it's clear as a bell to Jason. And next morning, Jason says, "Well, look, there you see, no prison." Marie says, "Uh-uh." And he says, "What do you mean, uh-uh?" She says, "Well, I don't see it. Looks like a prison to me. I mean, sort of looks like a prison. Sometimes it looks like a prison, sometimes not. But I don't know what you're talking about. I mean, there's a prison." And Jason hadn't counted on that. And he says, "Oh, well, that's a drag. You mean to tell me that I can see that there's no prison, but you're still seeing that there is a prison? I mean, Tom told me that from outside the prison there was no more prison. I don't know, something's cockeyed here." And Marie says, "Look, Jason, I think you're a little squirrely, pal. Why don't you come back with me into the prison? Since there's no prison to you, ha 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 ha, then you'll be real happy where we are inside the prison." Jason begins to catch on to something, and he says, "You know, I think what I've done is maybe created a funny little thing here with my subject-object desire trip love I've got happening for you." And he starts to get into a place where he realizes that this love that he's got for Marie is darkly rooted in selfishness and desire, and that really it's not the kind of love that he would be in a place that he would hang out, but as a matter of fact, it was a sort of love that he did to somebody else. He begins to realize he doesn't have to have Marie around to love or anybody. That's just a state of consciousness for him. Marie ain't buying it. She says, I'm going back. That's it for you later. It's a real sad parting, although Jason's pretty cool behind the whole thing. And while all this is going on, there is a song playing in the background called Marie's Theme, which bespeaks tenderly of their parting goodbyes and also assures both of them that they're going to be okay, since they are anyway. Her only remark was a closing remark that one sometimes hears between friends. She began to emerge without speaking a word into something quite different from him. For she usually would start where he usually would stop, and then blissfully wade right on through. Still the ideas unfolded in their perfect array, only hinting at what lay beyond them, hidden behind all the logic one finds without truth. I recall how a carnival meeting in late fall had brought me together with them. With no real direction, just a simple reflection of a movement as clear as the wind. We both stood there gazing and not quite believing, or willing to change points of view. Still the ideas unfolded in their perfect array, only hinting at what lay beyond them, hidden behind all the logic one finds without truth. So I'm watching another exceptional flower beginning to blossom and grow. As yet still unspoken, but with more than a token, a reminder of times yet to go. And the frequent suggestion is that time is the question, and not so much which one you choose. But still ideas will unfold in their perfect array, only hinting at what lay beyond them, hidden behind all the logic one finds without truth, hidden behind all the logic one finds without truth. And then that refrain repeats on the record about 637,000 times, over and over and over and over again, like the last one did. Anyway, back to Jason and Marie and all that stuff going on in the prison. Jason finally is beginning to grok on some level the fact that he and Marie have got a different place they can share, and that being in love is a state of consciousness that he can enjoy without having to get stuck on the object he has begun to believe was the thing that got him to that place. Wanders back to Tom, who's at the cabin, gets himself back there without thinking, and Tom says, well, I knew Marie wouldn't come with you, pal. I'm glad you worked through that quick. Because until somebody's ready to come through, they can't come through. I mean, her coming through is assured. Eventually she's going to do it. It's inevitable. Everybody does. But you can't pull them through without confusing them. and a cheap desire trip and have her come and be your partner and love only you forever and always and you love only her forever and always is just exactly the kind of thing that makes everybody crazy. Jason says, well, I really like it out here and I really like what's going on and I certainly do appreciate everything that you've done for me. And Tom says, well, good, then you're ready for the next bit of information, which is the fact that I'm splitting. Jason says, where are you going? Tom says, I can't tell you that. I'm going to a place that you wouldn't understand either. And Jason, well, what am I going to do? And Tom says, well, you're going to be a guide now. Jason says, I don't know how to be a guide. I mean, I've learned a little bit about this love business with Marie, but I'm certainly ill-equipped to show people around this state of consciousness. Tom says, you'll do just fine. You'll have every message that you need. Tom says, look, all you have to do is love everybody and tell the truth. Jason says, oh, is that all? He says, yeah, that's all. I mean, it's a very simple kind of thing. And Jason says, well, what about if I find somebody that I don't like that's a drag? And Tom says, well, your real nature is love, man. All you can do is stop hating. Because your natural self, which is loving, will shine forth. Jason says, well, I don't want to be loving to some creep. Tom says, well, that's what you got to learn to quit. And if you quit that, then love shines forth without effort. Jason says, yeah, and I'll walk around and I'll be going, hello, I love you, and some of you smashing me in the face and stealing my wallet. Tom says, nah, you don't quite have it yet, pal, because the kind of love that we're talking about is not this simple, humble, I love you, baby, here we are, it's all groovy and wow and far out. The kind of love we're talking about is active and powerful. And it is the sort of thing in which evil withers. Well, Jason says, I don't know. Tom says, look, you'll catch it later. I'm leaving. Jason says, well, when will I understand? Tom says, well, the infinite is a funny thing to contemplate. Right now you believe a growth occurs through time, but as you begin to nibble at the edge of the infinite, one of the first things you find out is that there is no time. And this thing that you've been calling growth occurring through time doesn't occur at all. So when you understand the infinite, the first thing you understand is that you've been there all along. It's like the prison. You were free the whole time, just didn't know it. And he splits and Jason says goodbye. And this is the last song. It'll be the last song tonight as well. And thank you very much. I've enjoyed it on a couple of levels.
In the window that's concerning revaluation for the sake of man. Carry news of broken weather, which reveals the shallow gesture of ovations carved from mountains made of sand. Lord, I'm falling, the distant calling, connection from the past don't seem to come. Tragic dancer, tries to answer, but cannot, for he plays a broken drum. And space reacting in kind. Oh, for the price of the wisdom sublime and the strength to shoulder the burden. To the heads that nod, a token of appreciation based upon the sound. Or do the words mean something to the bold ones who are jousting in determination to unseat the crown? Rose thorn, forlorn, guard the beauty's treat. Carry your message sweet and deliver as complete the play. Unspoken line. Unspoken line. Unspoken line. Good night, my friends.